You know, I think it's a ridiculous thing that we aren't, but politicians and others are even discussing the thought of changing the national anthem. That's ridiculous. Absolutely. One of the reasons why it gets done is because a small group cries out about it, and I think their only motive is not being offended. Their only motive is trying to tear down everything that America has stood for years and years. And every Christian, godly Christian, ought to be calling their congressmen and senators and yelling and screaming at the top of their voice not to do this. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I want to talk tonight for a little while on false prophets of the last days. False prophets of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Find it, stand, we'll read it. Look at verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, they were supposedly the magicians in Pharaoh's court. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. False prophets shall be manifest to all men, as was the magicians in Pharaoh's court manifested. Manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Father, thank you for the word tonight. I pray you'll use it to encourage your people. I pray that you'll use it to enlighten the truth that we have at the present time, the present day. Forgive our sin tonight. Give preaching grace. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Now I want you to go back, and many times we have read these verses to chapter 3, verse 1. And here's my outline, so it should be short because little outline means little message, right? I said the reason why we have so much to cover is because I have a big Bible. Big Bible means big message. The next meeting we had, someone bought me one of those little bitty Bibles that was about this big, you know. I think it had John 3:16 in it, and they said, small Bible, small message. So sometimes that's the way it works, sometimes it's not. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to Timothy, one of his proteges, one that Paul was so very, proud of, and he was proud in a godly way. Not the evil pride, but a good pride. Timothy had been trained as a young man under his grandmother and his mother. He knew the scriptures. He knew them backwards and forwards. He had a calling of God on his life. He was now a young preacher, perhaps in his middle 30s, which would still be young in the ministry. Be old in the military, old in athletics, but young in the ministry. And yet, Paul is encouraging him. And Paul is saying, look, in the last days, we're going to have some big time problems. But the church at Ephesus was already enduring some of those big time problems. There were already false prophets, and there were already those who were lying openly and trying to deceive people and proselyte them to themselves and make followers out of people who had been born again, but many who were still young in the faith and didn't know any better. Paul said to the group in Ephesus, the elders, and I'll read it in a few moments, the book of Acts, he talked to the church at Ephesus. He talked to the elders and he said, look, when I'm gone, the wolves are coming. And he said, they're already among us. They just haven't manifested themselves yet. But when I'm gone, they're going to rise up to try and pull men away to follow after them. Be strong in the faith. Continue in the things that you've heard of me, of Jesus Christ, and keep on going. And here he's telling young Timothy the same thing. He begins to list savage times, and more so even now as we see these things. We've experienced the cream of the cream. We've experienced, if you're my age, the best of the best in America. And now we're seeing the worst of the worst coming out of every closet in the countryside and trying to pull us into socialism. And socialism has never worked in any nation it's ever been involved in. The poor get poorer and the rich get richer. And that's the only two classes you have, is the rich and the poor under socialism. Most of the time people go without. I've seen in communist countries, I've gone through their food courts. They would call a grocery market, as we would call a grocery market, where you expect the shelves to be full of things and you drive your basket. Not so in those nations. The shelves are bare and you take a ticket up and give it to an individual and you say, I want a dozen eggs. Well, you can't have a dozen eggs. All you need is three, and they give you three eggs. You take them home. Where there are not shelves of eggs, there are not shelves of bread. I need a loaf of bread. Impossible. You can have a half a loaf of bread. I need a gallon of milk. We don't have a gallon of milk. Here's a quart. Those kinds of, it's coming to America if we go over the top and go to the left. It's coming to America, believe me. But Paul is writing and he's saying to Timothy, look, here's some things that you need not do. You need not panic. You need not fear. And you need not deny the faith. You need to stand strong. In every instance of this, Paul writes, listen, verse 1. This seems like a who's who and a what's what in America right now. This know also that in the last days, perilous, what does the word perilous mean? Savage. Savage times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, empty pretenders, proud, blasphemers. They were burning Bibles in the city square the other night. And it's a pathetic thing in America. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, profane. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers. These are the characteristics of the last days. False accusers. Hey, what are they doing in Congress this very moment? Huh? And everything Trump says, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, and he's going to ruin America. False accusers. What about all of the Supreme Court justices that's been nominated and people come out of the woodworks to accuse them of things that happened 40 years ago? False accusers. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Hey, Congress is full of traitors this very moment. Instead of support, listen, I didn't like Obama, but he was my president. I didn't go try and ruin him. I prayed God would change it, but I didn't go against him, and neither should we. We have a president. We need to support him. But what is half of Congress doing? They're trying to malign his character. They're trying to get the people of America to doubt every word. He was here in Midland, Odessa, you know, a week ago. And the first thing he came up on Facebook, liar, 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 liar. And I mean, I wanted to jump in and say, which one are you talking about? What lie? Tell me the lie. But it's they're mimicking what they've heard for so long. They're mimicking. They have no evidence. False accusers, traitors. I can name congressmen tonight that ought to be called on the carpet for treason in America. You know it as well as I do. Fierce, that means savage, not tame. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's the false prophet. He looks godly. He speaks enough religion to make you think he's godly, but he denies the power of God from the inside out. The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with those kinds of people. Verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Silly women. The word silly comes from the Greek word which literally means immature, weak. Not ignorant, but immature and weak. Oftentimes, I say it with respect, but it's true that oftentimes women are led more by their emotions than they are about sound truth or wisdom or whatever you please. It's how we feel. I get all upset about it when my kids or tears start rolling down your face when you think, silly women. I saw one on one of the news channels the other day. She was all upset at her parents. She was screaming in her phone. She was videoing herself. She was bawling. She was about 22 years old, and tears were running down her face, and she was screaming. She hated her parents. She hated her parents. Her parents were racial. Her parents were prejudiced. Her parents were this and this and this. And she was one of those left-leaning individuals, and she had been so brainwashed, she was completely turned against her own family, her own mother, and her own father. I've seen several like that recently. One nice-looking young lady who you would think had intelligence stood in front of a police officer screaming at him four-letter words on a video, screaming at him until she bumped him and he bumped her back. And she said, "Don't touch me." And then the police line opened up. She was shoved through and the police line closed. And she was whisked off to the paddy wagon, turning around crying and saying, guys, like, "Help me. What do I do now?" Okay, moron, you just went beyond the limit and you're going to pay the consequences now. Silly women, immature women. And this is why I've oftentimes wondered about that when I was reading through it. I went back, and he said, these people are open to falsehoods. These people are open to false prophets, which has to deal with religion. And may I say to you that our nation is under attack right now by socialists and anarchists. Our nation is under attack. Our history is under attack. Our icons that remind us where we came from and where we are now, our statues and so on, are under attack right now. The day is coming, and it's not far off, that our churches and our religion, our faith, will be under attack, and they will begin to try to extinguish all verses of Scripture that have been carved into the monuments in D.C. and around the country. And they may even march in our driveway because we take a conservative stand. It's not far away that our religion and our faith will also be under attack. Notice he says to Timothy, these traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, these false prophets that are after a following, that do not believe Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and do not believe that He was virgin born, and do not believe in the power of the blood to forgive sin, but yet they are preaching the social gospel. We have them in Midland, Texas. They're in every city. They're all around the world. They're in different denominations. They're in the Baptist denomination as well. They're easy to start picking out when they start ordaining homosexuals and lesbians to be priests and pastors over them. You can just rest assured they don't have the truth and they've been deceived. When they start viewing same-sex marriage as being only the choice of man, and now it's the law of the nation, and they go along with it and say, it's okay, and never consult the Word of God, I can guarantee you they've been led by a false prophet. We're already there. Our nation all at once looks as though it rose up against us and rose up in chaos and rose up in burning and looting, killing and maiming for no reason other than they want what they want and they want it now and they want a social government rather than the one we have. It will look as though suddenly people have risen up against religion and faith when all the time it's festering underneath the surface. It just has not had its opportunity yet. But I grant you there are churches in town that will fall and fail when they rise up. They will go in that direction of liberalism. It will be much like what one of the Catholic priests said years ago, hey, if the Muslims overrun us, we can convert and we can confess later and get it okay. That's not the way we do business. That's not the way we stand strong in the faith with Jesus Christ. And Paul is exhorting Timothy not to go that direction, but to stay by the things that he's been taught, the things that he's learned. He said, this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts. It doesn't mean lust of sexual pleasure necessarily. It means the lust of power, the lust of authority, the lust of socialism, the lust of things and everybody being equal. So we take from the rich and we give to the poor and it makes everyone equal. Not so. Never has happened. Verse 7 says about the people in verse 6, they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The problem is they deny the truth. If you look across the page, they will not endure sound teaching, but they deny the truth repeatedly. They don't want to hear the truth. They want something that soothes and leads them in the direction they really want to go. He said, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, the false prophets and their following, also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. It means not standing the test. The word reprobate refers to metal as you put it in the melting pot. And it refers to the metal that's not able to stand the test. It boils. It burns away. It's not pure gold. It's not pure silver. It's something that will not stand the test when the heat is turned up. And that's what he's referring to in these particular individuals. They won't stand the test of who are you trusting or what are you trusting to get you to heaven. They don't even care about heaven. But they wouldn't have the right answer. They would not stand the test. There is no truth in them. They can't come to the truth because they can't understand it. They're in darkness. They're evil. They're without the Spirit of Almighty God. He said in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was also, as the magicians were also. But he goes on and he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. He's speaking to Timothy. Paul says, you've known what I taught. You've watched my manner of life. And after I was converted to Jesus Christ, he says, you know that I was the same day in and day out. And that my whole goal was for Jesus to be promoted in the lives of men. He said, you know my manner of life. You know my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. You've seen my persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There is a great fear in America at present time. I saw a video this week that said, you know, it only took 4 months. Has any of you seen that? Only took 4 months. It only took 4 months to bring the most powerful nation in the world to her knees. Only took 4 months for every red-blooded American to give up every liberty they ever had and listen to the dictatorial process that the government put upon them because they were afraid. Fear. Only 4 months the greatest nation has fallen to her knees. 4 months, they tell you when you can get up and go to bed. They tell you when you can go shopping, where you can go, how you can go. And I walked into a place this week that said, if you don't have a mask, you can't come in here. I said, goodbye. It's ridiculous. And we're a nation on our knees. We can't think for ourselves. We're sheeple. One following right after another. No one can clearly think for themselves because their brain is so muddled with fear. Fear makes that adrenaline rush come forth. And when you get fearful and out of sorts, you can't think clearly. You can't react clearly. You just go nuts with everything. Panic stricken. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Paul has the answer right here. He tells young Timothy, he said, hey, evil men and seducers. Where are we now? We're in savagery. I saw an article that said that many of the Marxist crowd are planning to come through rural America into the communities and into the homes of common people everywhere. Not just the big city. They're planning to come to rural America. Well, I say, You better pick it carefully. But notice, persecutions, afflictions came unto me, verse 11. But I endured. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yeah. But all that will live godly will suffer persecution. Yep. Evil men and seducers. Seducers means an imposter, one who mutters spells, one who does what's necessary to get control of someone else. Drugs, oftentimes that was the process here, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I've always said it, I still say it, that Fauci guy that's a physician is a nutcase. I think he has an ulterior motive. We have hydroxychloroquine that's been proven. Now doctors are petitioning the drug people to turn it loose, and because it's been proven again. Well, why wouldn't they let you as an individual if you want to do it? If it's so dangerous, well, I want it. May kill me, so what? It's my choice. They let people, you know, a few years back have assisted suicides with medical device. Remember that? Well, why wouldn't they let me go ahead and try the hydroxy? If I have COVID-19, if you get it in the early stages and you get that drug, you're going to be all right. President Trump took it. Because there's an ulterior motive. They want you under fear. They want you under control. They want you on your knees. They want chaos because they can better control the situation. But so what does Paul recommend to Timothy when all this comes about? What does Paul recommend to me and you? Notice in verse 14. But even though all this happens, savage times, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, false prophets, all of these things, persecutions, evil men, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Stay by the stuff. What's Paul's advice? Stay by the stuff. Come back to the Bible every single time. when fear gripes you and grips you and criticizes you and abuses you, come back to the Bible. What does God say? What does Paul say? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. So why wouldn't I come back to the Bible if it's all been written by God and God has my interest at heart? Why wouldn't I come back to the Bible when I'm fearful, when I'm mistrusting others? Why wouldn't I come back to the Bible? False prophets of the last days. I want you to hold that thought. I want you to turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Actually, verse 6 gives you an idea. He's talking to Timothy and he says, "Hey, Timothy, I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." Look, God's done a work in your life and you have a purpose, and your purpose is not to be dreading and fearful of everything that comes along and afraid of your own shadow. Your purpose is to manifest forth the living God who is inside of you to others who may be fearful and who may be dreading everything that's coming upon them. Greater is He that's in you. Hey, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You remember the message I preached months back on doubt and people that could not get assurance for their salvation, and they were always in doubt, and especially when a real hot sermon came along, man, they were so fearful they weren't going to make it to heaven, and it was so much doubt. And the bottom line is the Holy Spirit doesn't work through doubt. The Holy Spirit works through truth. And the Holy Spirit works by convicting you of truth, not of doubt. God doesn't work on you and cause you to doubt to try to get you to do something, but Satan does. Doubt the Word of God, doubt the love of God, doubt the assurance of God, on and on and on. Satan wants you there, but not God. Who benefits from your fear? Is it God? Oh, you do so many godly things when you're fearful, right? No. And Paul writes it to Timothy and he's exhorting him, stand up. Stand up as a soldier of Christ. Stand up. Be confident. Go forth. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Tarry ye into Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Do you understand that power has not been taken away? Because that power is not an it, it's a He. And the He is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and me. The power of Almighty God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Take captive of those thoughts of fear. Take captive those thoughts of doubt and flee to the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. Again and again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, from your lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you, Peter. I'm not redeemed by how I feel. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 15, notice what it says. Actually, verse 14 and 15. Notice. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, me and you, children of Abraham, partakers of flesh and blood, He also himself, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took part of the same, that is flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid. Why? For a child of God, it's a promotion. I could choose. I'd like to choose the way I go. I'd like to just go to bed some night, go to sleep, not wake up in the bed in the morning, but wake up in heaven. That's the way I'd like to go. All of us, I think, I don't want to go through pain and suffering in order to get there. I don't want to go that way, but death is death. For the child of God, it can't be so bad. It's a promotion. Why do we look at it that way? Why are we in such dread and such fear? There are worse things that could happen to us. We could wake up in hell. But thank God for His blood, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and the Savior. All their lives in bondage to fear, the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject. Oh my goodness. Jesus Christ came to be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Lord. False prophets preach a social gospel, a form of religion without power. They deny Jesus Christ to be God in the flesh. They deny the virgin birth as an impossibility. They deny the second coming of Jesus Christ altogether. And as we look forward to Jesus Christ coming, there will be more numerous false prophets rising up in churches, many who claim to be a prophet and give a prophecy. And God said, I didn't call them. I didn't send them. Jeremiah, he said, in fact, when they say something that may perchance come to pass, realize, I didn't call them to be prophets. There are no modern day prophets. They're false. But they're going to be more numerous in churches in the last days. Why? To turn people from their faith and turn people from Jesus Christ. As the foundations of America are under attack even right now, so the foundations of our faith and the church will see increased attack the closer to the time that Jesus comes. And then after the rapture resurrection and we're gone, there will be people on the earth energized by Lucifer himself that will seemingly have the power to work miracles and will deceive people by the multiple thousands in that day when the church is gone and the Holy Spirit is gone with it. John stood in amazement on the Isle of Patmos as he saw the vision that Jesus gave it. And he saw the dragon and the false prophet and the beast, 666. And he saw as the false prophet was able to do miraculous, supernatural things, even giving supposedly life to a statue that he would move and speak and talk and deceive people of the world. John stood in amazement. And yet, they have their time. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, it will all come to an end. And they will get theirs. Three things about Paul in these verses of Scripture. I want you to notice back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to notice in verse number 10. Paul says to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my teaching. You've known my manner of life. You've known my purpose. But now here's three things I want you to grab from this. Something we need to come back to. Every single time we let fear get hold of us, we need to come back to faith. Paul says, thou hast fully known my faith. My faith. My trust in God. My trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. You have fully known my faith. And he goes on and he says, and continue, verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. And he says, you've been made wise by the Holy Scriptures from your childhood. Rely upon the Bible. Rely upon the Word of God as your direction, your comfort, your wisdom, your all in all. And stop listening to CNN and stop listening to Fox News and stop reading everything that comes up. Just put your trust, your faith in the Lord Jesus and hang in there. By faith. The second thing he says, Timothy, look, you've seen my faith. Follow after me. Continue in the faith, not only the faith and your trust in God and trust in Jesus Christ, but in propagating the truth, the faith, propagating truth. There's all these lies and all this falsehood that's going on right now. The truth is not being endured. They don't want the truth. How much more do you need to understand? We're in the last of the last days. They don't endure it. They don't put up with it. But Paul says, not only did I want you to look at my faith, but look at the fact of long suffering. We have faith in God. We have long suffering to self. In other words, self needs to be long suffering. We need to learn how to be patient with others and live with them and realize their stupidity is because they have no light in them. The light of God and the light of the world. They have no light in them. They're on their way to hell forever and ever. You say, well, how can you judge that? I can judge it by the scriptures that he gives me. When they will not endure the truth, when they will not put up with sound doctrine, when they will follow after false prophets that guarantee them a utopia, and they burn, and they loot and they kill. That's pure evil. Somebody said the other day, they said, how in the world can these people do this? I wrote back and I said one word, evil. Evil. How can they do it? Evil is motivating them. Evil is driving them. You say, yeah, but they believe what they believe. And they, yeah, but it's evil. And Paul says we need to be long-suffering. Look in Galatians chapter 5. He already wrote it down. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, Paul writes the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Here it is. Towards other people. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Long-suffering. Gentleness. And goodness. Look, I think... I'm not going to say that. I shouldn't say that. I won't say that. But I'm going to say I disagree with a lot of sheeple. Now, if you have, there's Mary Nelson right there. Mary has an immune system problem. Mary ought to take extra steps to protect herself. She ought to. That's wise. We know that. Other people, you know, people on chemotherapy, ought to be careful to take care of themselves. But the rest of us, leave us alone. Let us decide for ourselves if we want to wear a mask or not. Let us decide for ourselves if we want to go to work or not. Let us decide for ourselves if this medicine is right for us or not. Leave us alone. But I do it kindly. I'm not belligerent. I don't lose my temper. I went to a restaurant. They said, do you have a mask? I said, I don't have one. They said, we have one for $2 each. I said, I don't need one. They said, you can't come in here without a mask. I said, thank you very much. I'm gone. And I just turned around and left. There's been other places that have it on the doorway. If you're going to shop here, you need a mask. I just go on in. They never say anything to me. I go in without one. Walmart has a policy now, but what you don't know is that Walmart's policy is if you deny a mask and you refuse to wear one, they will let you in and shop anyway. It's in their policy. It's in a written policy. I saw it. I read it. Most of the places are like that. Sometimes you have people in charge that want to be belligerent and cause a problem. Let them be belligerent. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be kind. But I'm still going to say, you know, hey, you're a moron. In my heart, they're a moron. I'm just going to leave. Morons have interbred with the Klingons, and they have caused such a disaster in our society. Such a disaster. Look, three words Paul says. He says, watch my faith in God. Watch my long-suffering in self. I have learned to be gentle and kind to others. And watch my love to all men. So he shows it to us. And he says, where is it? Verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. You've fully known my faith. Look, one of the things that I have a pet peeve with is preachers that act different on Sunday or Wednesday than they do during the rest of the week. Preachers who are different. Their lives are different. Their kids will tell you their lives are different. Daddy's not the same at church as he is. Look, that rubs me the wrong way, and that really angers me that there is such a hypocrisy there. My philosophy is, hey, it's the cowboy way. My philosophy is that this gospel is good for all of us, and it's like the rubber that meets the road. It brings life. It's to the common things of life for every day. This is not a Sunday book. This is not a Wednesday book. This is a book that is good for every day of the year. And we ought to live it. I try to live it. Sometimes I fall short. I have to ask the Lord's forgiveness. Sometimes my anger rises up and I say, Lord, forgive me. But this preaching stuff is not just to have a crowd or not get to be over somebody. Or I had a staff member one time years ago that one of the first things they asked me, they said, okay, preacher, who am I over? I said, excuse me? We were on A Street. We had staff members. We had about 20-something people in school on staff and three or four in church staff. And this individual said, okay, who am I over? And I said, excuse me, what do you mean? He said, who do I boss? I said, you do well to take care of yourself. Sometimes we get that mentality. Who am I over? Who do I get to boss? I'm in authority now. What does that mean? Jesus said, he that would be greatest among you would be the least. Would be those who minister to you. Those who are your servants. Those who care about you. You know why you get preached to the way you do? It's certainly not because I get paid a bonus for it. Certainly not because it puts feathers in my... I have an obligation to the great shepherd to feed the sheep. I have an obligation to the great shepherd to take care of the sheep. That's what I just try to do. The truth is good for you. The truth is preached in love. You know, when there's fewer people here, it's harder to preach the truth than it is if the place was packed out. You can lose yourself in people. But when there's just a few, everybody thinks, he's talking about me for sure. You know? That's the way it goes. But look, Paul says, love all men. He says, notice my example of love, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity. There it is. In Acts chapter 20, I just want to carry you there just for a few verses. In Acts chapter 20, I want you to notice what Paul said to the brethren at the church of Ephesus. He said in Acts 20, verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or wait for me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's not what the false prophets teach and preach. Boy, they preach a social gospel that doesn't offend and it doesn't convict and it doesn't burden at all. Verse 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Man, the love of this man for his people with tears. His love to Jesus. His love to that God-man. And then Paul says to Timothy, lastly, he says, notice my patience. The Greek word patience means literally abiding under. Persecutions, trials, afflictions, COVID-19, whatever, abiding under. Abiding under the trial of. Abiding under the persecution of. But we should not lose our identity as Christians. We are Christian Americans, but our first priority and our first allegiance is to Jesus Christ and His church. And we should be mindful of that and remember that in the midst of all the shutdowns and all the things that go on around us. Not be caught up in panic with this fear, taking some logical and some wise steps to protect yourself as God hath given you, but praying and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, give wisdom in this hour. The Bible says if you ask, He gives. The Bible says if you seek, you find. If you want to know the truth, God will give you the truth and help you along the way. But not to live in the spirit of fear. Not to be afraid of a shadow. Not to be afraid of what's around you. Because this has turned into more political than it has medical. And we don't want to listen to false prophets making accusations and telling us this is going to happen or that's going to happen. No man knows everything that's going on or going to happen. We only get bits and pieces. But the priority and the main thing is stay by your faith and come back to the Bible every single time. Amen? Man, here's where peace is. Increase your faith in Jesus Christ. God's not going to lead us someplace that He has not already been Himself. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight. God bless you.